Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM and WHUT-TV. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about our seemingly voracious appetite for scandalous, salacious, even negative news. My guests are Dr. Terry Adams, Associate Dean of the Howard University Graduate School and Director of the Howard University Initiative on Public Opinion, blogger April Banks, and multimedia journalist Nikki Mayo. And of course, you. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let me go to the phone lines. Let us talk to Velda. Velda calling from Waldorf. Thanks for hanging on, Velda. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I just wanted to say that it's so sad what Steve Harvey and Marjorie are going through, but people gravitated to the fact that, you know, he wrote this book telling us that we were stupid and we need to think like a man. And then the rumor was that his wife did this, and people were loving it. And it was horrible. I would never want to experience that, and that was sad.
Yeah. Yeah, you do make a point. Thank you so much, Velda. Let me go to Vernie. Vernie calling from D.C. Vernie, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, this is Vernie.
Go right ahead.
I'm coming from a spiritual perspective, as always. And we need to understand that humans were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So we have a propensity for sin, for darkness. That's why, and also we are warned in the gospel about gossipers, people that spread stuff, stories, and a lot of times just fantastic stories that feed the negative spirit of man. Mm-hmm. That's in all of us until we're set free. That's one of the main things. But another important thing is that all of that, it spills over into everything. The way that we think spills over into everything. So everything, because we thinking this negative stuff, we're craving it,
yeah.
Then it's spilling over to all human beings.
So thank you for that. Thank you so much for your comment, because you make a really important point when you talk about, you know, for example, the spiritual aspect. You know, Dr. Adams, a lot of the people, not all, obviously, but a lot of the people who are addicted to some of these reality shows, the salacious news, the juicy of the Dr. Adams, we see them in a church house on Sunday. You know, so it is all of us, mm-hmm, that are tempted, if I'm going to keep with the biblical journey that Vernon was just sharing with us, we are tempted to click, to read, to watch, to listen, mm-hmm, but talk to me a little bit about, I think, the psychological factor that, mm-hmm, the impact that these salacious stories have on us.
Right. Well, I think you're right. You know, across the board, doesn't matter your race, ethnicity, gender, socioeconomic status. Many people are addicted to, or addiction may be a strong word, or attracted to negative news.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the soap operas. At, you know, effect of quote-unquote reality TV. And I think kind of going back to what I was originally talking about related to, you know, being drawn to negativity and that being almost based in our biology, in order to survive, we needed to pay attention more to the negative things that were going on in our environment. But then there's also this concept called confirmation bias that keeps us locked into negative news. And confirmation bias is our tendency to seek out information that confirms our pre-existing conditions. So those things in which you already think you're more drawn to. And so rather than challenging our beliefs about the world, we tend to gravitate towards those things that we affirm our fears, our thoughts, our values, and those kinds of things. So in order to override your tendency to be drawn towards negativity. You have to spend more time really cultivating your mind towards those things that are positive. So there's a way out of this loop, but it takes active. It takes you being active in order to do that.
So I agree with her, and that's why they have the algorithm.
the algorithm.
Thank you. That right there just it keeps giving you the negative. If you're clicking on the negative, if you are into spiritual, it's going to give you spiritual all day. If you're into, you know, the news, it's going to give you news all day. It's all about what you're clicking. So if you're not clicking anything other but the same thing every day, it's going to pop up on your feed the same thing every day, unless you, you know, you go somewhere else and read about it. You know, like, for example, on IG is like that. You can click it and like it and like it and share it. And then next you know, it's like, okay, did you see a story similar to this? And it's mm-hmm. like, well, I'm not interested in the story. I wanted to share it. Yeah, you can't. You can't. It's just there, right there. As soon as you wake up, you know, as me as a blogger, I'm on it. It used to be really bad for me. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't go to bed until like 2 o'clock in the morning because I'm like, I got to be first. I got to be first. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just like, you know, you know, you have to find that boundary where you have to be like, I'm over it. I'm done. I'll see it tomorrow.
But Nikki, mm-hmm. do you believe that there is a difference between the darkness that we often report in the news and the guilty pleasures that people voluntarily exercise when they're watching reality TV or scrolling through social media looking for the salacious gossip?
There's not a major difference because we're all sharing information. It comes down to how much time is allotted for said stories. We in newsrooms typically exercise a level of ethics as well as this is what our brand is. And it's not going down the rabbit hole. Shirley Strawberry.
Yeah.
The amount of content I found on that, obviously not on any news site that I would normally.
It was everywhere.
Yes. All over TikTok and Instagram. And I'm like, these content creators and these bloggers are having a field day. Meanwhile, I really have kind of killed my algorithm to the point where I didn't know a lot about it. But in the newsroom, we decide, like, hey, have you heard this story about this Steve Harvey connection? You'd have to go so far down the rabbit hole to figure out who Shirley Strawberry is.
If you don't listen to the show. Yes.
So it's not newsworthy enough. So, yes, we do a lot of very dark, very real talk. I do every Monday. I pop up on TV One. I'm telling somebody's sad story around the Baltimore, D.C. metropolitan area on Fatal Attraction or whatever show I'm on at that point, right? Mm-hmm. Those are just longer versions of the minute 15 package that I normally would turn saying somebody got shot, this person is a person of interest, the investigation continues. So it's a short version. But now when you have that long version with the actors and the dramatization, now it's like, oh, did you hear that story about? And it becomes just as salacious and gossipy. And this is a real life story.
Right.
Yeah. So we become invested when we have all that time on our hands. Most newsrooms and I mean, television, radio, digital print, they don't have that much space and time to go down a rabbit hole on. I didn't even really know who she was. I'm not going to lie to you. I know Steve Harvey because of the books and stuff in comedy. But if you aren't watching the show or listening to the show regularly, if your algorithm didn't bring you back to the latest in this weird saga, no, you would totally have been oblivious to this the whole time.
So here's the other question, mm-hmm. and I'll go back to you, Dr. Adams, about whatever this happens to be, what this does to us. Here's an example. At the height of the pandemic, when you were looking through social media, and this was before there were, you know, vaccines and people were trying to figure out what was going on. And, you know, you had the body count of what was happening in New York and everything else. And it's terrible. This wasn't salacious. This was just bad. This was bad news,
mm-hmm.
period. B-A-D. And people were looking through it and scrolling through it and scrolling through it. What we were addicted, because it was not the news, Dr. Adams, just of the day. It was the news of the afternoon. It was the news of the early evening. It was there at midnight. It was everywhere. What did that kind of bad news do to the collective American psyche?
I think it traumatized us. So I think what you're talking about is something that as a nation we just kind of skimmed over. It's like those 2 years existed, but not really, because we don't talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
I could go deep down that rabbit hole, and I know that's not the intent here. But I just listening to the news stories after story after story after story, I think, one, people wanted to feel connected to a larger community that was experiencing this same horrible set of conditions that were kind of thrown on us, or we were engulfed in. So I think watching it, you wanted to feel connected. You wanted to know as much as possible to stay alert and to stay as safe as possible. So that was one thing. But the impact of that, whether we're talking about COVID or just in general, watching negative news has a tendency to make you feel depressed, has a tendency to make you feel hopeless about life. And so there are some folks that say that you should take breaks from the news.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to Dr. Wheel or Wild or somebody maybe about 15 years ago, and he talked about taking breaks from the news, and I started doing that. And I noticed within myself that I started feeling better. I was less surprised. I was less fearful. So I think I would advise anybody to take a break, you know, have somebody to call you if something really is crazy going down. But and then check in with yourself. How are you feeling? Are you feeling any different? Because we do tend to be in fear mode a lot, and we're not even paying attention to it. We're so used to it.
The point that she just made, April, about being, you know, traumatized, obviously, you know, as a blogger, and you are, the things that you blog about, you're not blogging about, at least I'm assuming not. Mm-hmm. I don't think I have to worry about you blogging about President Biden or the Speaker of the House.
No.
She's running for re-election.
Yeah, but exactly. Well, the former speaker, yes, Nancy Pelosi. Yeah. Yes, she is running. Or you may get a Trump in there, depending on what it is. Maybe down in the corner.
He'll mm-hmm. keep you busy.
Right. Oh, yeah, he does.
Yeah.
But you know, when you talk about being, you know, traumatized, do you ever feel that what you are writing or what your readers are absorbing, consuming from you, have you ever had to take a break from what you were writing because you just said, okay, this is too much for me. This is just too much down and dirty for me even.
Yes. Like I find myself, because you consume information so much, and especially with the COVID-19 that was going on, it was just nonstop. Like you were saying, it was just feeding. And I think that too made us go on to more social media and look at these stories differently. You know, and, you know, same with the Steve Harvey. We're so in tune to it now, but I take breaks. I cannot just sit here every day out for like a month. I think I just took a break recently just from IG, not so much Twitter, but IG, because everyone is sharing the same story. Someone's feeding it differently. So once I start seeing that it becomes repetitive, I take a break, I stop, and then I assess it and just come back, you know, tiptoe, put my foot in it, you know, put my toe in it, mm-hmm. and see if it's time for me to come back or I just stay on one particular platform, which would be Twitter. Mm-hmm. But I do take them.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is The Daily Drum on WHUR on Sirius XM and WHUT-TV. We are talking about our voracious appetite for scandal, salacious, dark, negative news. Why are we like that? Why? What's going on with us that we have to have that dark news fix? And what do we do about it? do we do anything about it? Lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Nikki.
Yeah.
Whose fault is this? Is it the media's fault? And again, and you, how many times have you and I had this discussion over the years?
Chicken or egg kind of question here. Yeah, what are you doing?
Here's the deal, and you've had this discussion, particularly when we have gone to, you know, community organizations with NAACP, Urban League, whatever it happens to be, and we get that question: why y'all always? Mm-hmm. Why y'all always?
Well,
talking about negative stuff in our community. Why can't you do
that? I would like to make the distinction between the media, because there's a lot of different media out there.
Yeah.
Okay, so anything with a journalistic ethical stance, meaning a news organization, they should be held to a higher regard than any other media, because we are watchdogs. We are supposed to be holding government officials accountable. We're supposed to be reporting what's happening. And yes, there is an arts and entertainment and sports wing of what we do. Even with them, they're still exercising journalism. So I just want to make sure that we're separating the journalist away from the folks who are like, okay, I want to get these clicks. I'm trying to, like, you know, talk about whatever is hot and popping today. I'm not going to act like I don't sit on YouTube and watch a whole bunch of stuff. I do. It's fun. But I also consider my source. They're doing it for entertainment, for clicks. They're monetizing. They have to get you to pay attention. And I think there was one good quote about this whole Marjorie and Shirley Strawberry and Steve Harvey thing, where, like, there's, I think Steve Harvey said it in his, I heard a recording of it so recently. Everyone's capitalizing on getting their little hot take to the point where no one's going to be able to monetize that to make some real money. If you're getting 2,000 hits, that's not enough. You need to be up in the millions to really make some money here. So, you know, the motive is different. We all have this motive of we're trying to get information out. But no, I can't blame all media for our insatiable appetite for all things bad. I really feel like we already had this. Think about gladiator sport, for the love of God. That's from back prehistoric times, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not pre, post, whatever. You get the
our prehistory, sir.
Yeah, it's gladiator, you know, back in the day, Caesar, no, whatnot. They got together to watch people rip each other apart. Mm-hmm. So this is not new. We're not just jumping the shark right now. We've always had a problem as humans. We're very into just destruction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not just destruction, but watching it happen. We can talk. You don't even
train wreck.
You don't have to go back that far. You can talk about the Vietnam War, the first, what was called, during the 60s and 70s, the first living room war, where people were galvanized by that.
If people didn't tune in for it, didn't click on it, it probably would not have the prominence that it has. Mm-hmm. But since people are constantly clicking on it, you can call it clickbait, but is it really, if the fact that people are just clicking on stuff because they know, I'm going to see somebody naked, I'm going to see somebody hurt, I'm going to see the latest gossip and slander, I'm going to see the Kardashians. Oh. I mean, it's just tabloid. I've never dabbled in tabloid. I try not to, you know, get too stinky about, like, being uppity toward it, but real talk, well, you know what the tabloids were when you would see them in the grocery store?
Yes.
Okay, when they had, like, aliens are living and, you know, that craziness. Like, Area 56, whatever it is. But I'm just saying, like, I remember growing up and be like, you know, what is that? My mom's like, oh, that's just for entertainment. Okay, so I knew from a young age, tabloid entertainment. Now, the sad part is that some of our more popular ones, like the TMZs of the world, they have gotten so much prominence because, yes, they're breaking stories. The way that they're breaking stories is with the ethical jumping the shark moment where you're like, okay, I can't endorse this. I don't want to endorse it. I'm not going to click on it. I don't want to share it. It might be right, but the way in which they go about getting this information is not something I want to align myself with. That's me as a journalist. Joe Blow Public doesn't care how they get this information. He's like, okay, well, look, it said over here, Kobe's helicopter went down, here's the photos. That's what a TMZ will do.
Yeah, and I remember that going on, but at the end of the day, like, why would you want to post something like that? You know,
their ethics are gone, just gone. The Migos, I think there was a shooting, and they had the video of somebody getting shot. Yeah. See, I can't work for any news organization whose ethical standards are like, if it literally bleeds, it's leading. Like, they want to show you carnage. I have quit jobs where hosts and people in charge were like, we're going to run it. I'm like, can we at least mosaic out, blur out the carnage. And they're like, no, America needs to see this. I'm like, okay, I can't be a part of this right now. I'm not doing this. I believe in a kitchen table test. I'm not trying to gross you out. I'm trying to inform you. So that's from the journalist's standpoint. But no, people like crazy stuff. They click on the OnlyFans. They click on the Pornhub. They click on, you know, click here to see somebody get shot. They click on these things. I cover, like, Al-Qaeda. I cover, like, people getting their heads with serrated knives cut off. Mm-hmm. I'm good.
I remember.
I don't need to cover this stuff anymore. And I really wish I could convince people that you don't need to see this. You were in the Army.
Yeah.
There's probably some stuff you saw we don't need to see.
Yeah, no, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Dr. Adams, who is to blame? Is it us? Is it the media? What?
I think it goes back to what someone said, you know, is it the chicken or the egg kind of thing? So the media gives us what they think the public wants. And you said it earlier, I believe, that or you said something that made me think about this. If the news just produced positive stories for an extended period of time, where people still click, where people still listen, where people still tune in. And I want to think yes, but my guess is that the ratings will go down.
Yep.
So
yeah.
I think it is a matter of informing the public about what this does to them. And the fact that the last speaker said that she stood up and said, no, I don't want to be a part of this. Like, I commend that. Because we need more people to say that and to take that stand to protect the public. Because sometimes we don't know what's best for us.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things, and I've mentioned this example, you know, a lot of times when people have asked me over the many decades that I've been doing this, where they said, why, as I said, why y'all always? That's one word. Why y'all always?
Why are you making it to one word?
Yeah, it's just one word.
Y'all know what y'all do.
Exactly.
Y'all looking for the bad stories. Y'all trying to make us look bad.
But this is what I tell them. Yeah. This is what I tell them. And I've given this example years and years and years. If you drive home every day, and say you've got a spouse or a partner at home or what have you, and it was smooth sailing in your commute.
I'm bored.
You're bored.
You
walk in the house and you don't say, honey, I had a great drive home from work.
No, you want the gossip.
I'm going to tell you what I heard on the radio.
Right.
But the hot gossip.
Exactly.
Hot gossip.
But if you're driving and in the middle of your commute, mm-hmm. there is a horrible accident, that the car was upside down, obviously somebody was severely hurt or killed or what have you, that story, what you've observed, may not even wait until you get home. You are going to pick up the phone and you are going to say, honey, guess where I am? I'm in the middle of this traffic accident and it is horrible. The car is upside down. The wheels are still spinning. Fire trucks are out here. The smoke is billowing. You know, the car's on fire. I think there's a body on the street. That's who we are.
I'll take out my phone and just record. I mean, but that's part of being a blogger. I mean, I wouldn't do that, honestly. But as bloggers, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for that one viral moment. It's all about that. Just when it's about being first. You know, that old saying, if you're last, you're first, or first, you're last. That part.
But even with that, I can steal your content. I used to have to work to verify whenever I would see a viral anything online and say, hey, hi, I'm hitting you up from this news organization. Mm-hmm. Did you take this video? Mm-hmm. So the same way you might have gotten it first and put it up there first, you might even try to watermark it if you want. People will crop, throw stickers on top
Trust
of it.
Me.
All the things and steal your content. So it's like, what was it for?
I've had it happen, and it's very intrusive at the end of the day because it's just like being a journalist. Mm-hmm. Someone's taking your work. Your passion.
Well, we got lawyers, though.
I mean, I don't have that problem.
Right.
You know, I mean, a lot of people should have lawyers if they're bloggers in the way that they blog nowadays, you know, hence the Steve Harvey Show.
I'm just in awe of, like, the risk that so many bloggers are taking. I'm like, you do realize, like, to get the latest Black Lives Matter shooting. Like, to sit there with they're shooting people. You're going to sit there with a cell phone. That's all that's arming you. Someone could shoot you, too. Like, a lot of the things that we end up doing and putting our lives in harm's way, my mom's still mad at me for a lot of the stuff that I've covered and just did not need to be too close. Mm-hmm. Now, think about it. I'm doing it on my cell phone. Okay, that's great. In the event they start just popping shots at everybody, what you gonna do?
But, okay, but to that point, and also the point that April made about trying to have a viral moment, but we are seeing more of that. What's the website where they have all the world star?
Oh, that's
everything.
It's still here.
Yeah, it's still here.
World star.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you have. I mean, you. No, I mean, you have the fights.
Yeah.
You know, and even if it's not world star, we saw recently young people subway surfing.
Oh yeah.
And all of the risks that they're taking for a viral moment. Okay, you just said if you saw that accident that I created on the commute home, but you pulled out your phone. So after that, what do you do with it?
Well, I'll say right there, you know, I'm very conscious about what I post. I don't really post a lot of stuff that, you know, I don't really post a lot of stuff that feel like it will harm someone else, because I have my own family, and I think of other people's families as well. So sometimes all news being posted about a viral moment is not that serious. Mm-hmm. I would rather sit and make sure that the person is okay. You know, I can't stop right away and see what they're doing. But, you know, after being in law enforcement, it'll kick in. Ah. Like, okay, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to do. But, again, I wouldn't stop and just record it. But that's how a lot of people are now. You can slow down, drive past, record, take a video, upload. It takes 2 seconds to upload something on Twitter. On Instagram, it'll take a little bit longer unless you put in your stories, because you got to give this long caption about why, when, where, how, right? But on Twitter, you can just hashtag something, post, viral, TikTok. I'm not on TikTok, but, you know, on TikTok, everything is right at our fingertips.
Yeah.
That is the problem. The internet is the problem.
I just want people to be safe. I get very worried about, I want to be first. I'm like, are you paying attention to your environment while you're doing this?
Yeah.
And real talk, you don't need to put yourself in that uncomfortable and unsafe area.
Yeah.
I will say thank you to whoever did the viral moment down at, you know, the brawl. The river brawl.
Oh yeah.
We got every angle.
Which brings me to the next point, because Dr. Adams, how can you create an emotional balance as a consumer of all of this information? Let's take the Montgomery brawl. For example, first day it was terrible, and then leave it to black folks to be super creative, Dr. Adams.
How do you find
balance if short of cutting everything off? How do you find balance when you are consuming this information?
I think you need to decide what kind of content you want to consume, and then make your selections from there. So if you're okay with being inundated with negative things, if you're okay with seeing images that are disturbing, then go for it. But if it bothers you, if it makes you feel depressed, if it makes you feel fearful, then I would say cut back, or just cut that out for at least a few days. And as I said earlier, observe how you're feeling. You're going to notice a difference within yourself. Personally, I don't think it's healthy. I don't think it's healthy to constantly be consuming these kinds of things without first stopping to think about it. Now, people who do this as a business, this is their job, they're thinking through that. But when you're just being a passive kind of watcher or passively absorbing these kinds of images and information, you're not thinking through, and you're not filtering in a way that would be healthy for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is particularly for you, Nikki, because as you said, full disclosure, you and I, we go back.
Way back.
Way back in this business.
Mm-hmm.
And we have seen some absolutely horrific things. And yet we still have to consume. We still have to do it, short of taking vacation.
Therapy.
Is that what it is?
It really was therapy for me. I mean, keep in mind, age-wise, I graduated straight into 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had to cover it without any type of feeling. Just cover it. Have it. Go to the Pentagon every day type of thing. I had to learn about therapy very early. I was, and you know how black folks are. We don't do therapy. We just pray it away.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to kind of like get over that hurdle real fast because you had, I think it was like Aaliyah, Left Eye, all of them died. You had 9/11 happening. And then it was a rolling recession. All these bad series of events kept happening. So if I didn't have therapy, I would not be probably still here right now. Mm. It's been very, very stressful. And it's, yeah, vacations, which are part of therapy. So there you go, too.
Yeah. Real yeah. quick, we just heard from Dr. Adams. You know, April, I'll let you have a final word about this.
So it's adrenaline rush. I think our adrenaline kicks in when we want somebody to know what you know already. It's more like the gossip part. So it's like you find out something and I'm going to tell you, and then the next person, and then the next person. So mine is off an adrenaline rush. I like being able to be like, oh, yeah, I got it. Let me get this. I want to post this. Nobody has it. Let me look around. And again, just being the first. But again, I also look, too, to see if I really want to be the first for that or don't want to be a first for this. I'm very selective for what I post.
I think I'm going to have to let that be the last word. Dr. Terry Adams, April Bangs, Nikki Mayo, I want to thank you for talking to us. Really great discussion. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And finally tonight, let's be honest. Human beings have loved drama going all the way back to Greek tragedies. And some would argue even that first dramatic biblical story of Adam and Eve leaving the Garden of Eden. But today, the salacious, dramatic realities of minute-by-minute news and information can take a toll on those of us who consume it and those of us who report it. We're never going to stop negative news and information. Look, it happens. And somebody is going to tell us about it. But you can control how much of it you hear and the impact it has on you. Sometimes you have to turn it off for a little while for a little peace of mind. That's the Daily Drum for this Wednesday, September 13th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.